Hey there, everybody, and welcome to The Brand Called You. Listen, I can't help but think about the year 2016. I was living in the Netherlands as an expat, and I got invited to this incredibly exciting event by an organization called the Democrats Abroad. It was to watch the very first female win the nomination for the presidency of the United States, Hillary Clinton. We couldn't believe a woman was finally going to get into office, so we all marched into this theater. 200-300 of us, and we watched with enthusiasm and ultimately despair as little by little as the night went on, we realized that not only would Hillary not win, but Donald Trump would be the new president. And it was such an unforgettable moment, not just for the sadness, but to be honest, for the camaraderie I felt. This organization, Democrats Abroad, which I really only learned about after moving to the Netherlands, was such an important source of camaraderie, of support, but also legally helped me understand my rights, taxation, voting, and all sorts of things, which is why I'm so excited with this upcoming election to have as our guest Martha McDevitt-Pugh, who is the international chair of the Democrats Abroad. But when I first met her, of course, she was the chair for the Democrats Abroad, and I couldn't be more excited to have you here. So welcome, Martha.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. It's really delightful to see you and great to be here today.
I believe when I first met you, you probably don't realize this because it was early on, but I think you had just come back from the convention where you met Obama as a delegate. Is that possible?
Well, I did go to the 2012 convention. Yeah, I was one of the delegates for Obama. I didn't get that close to him and meet him, but I was there when he accepted the nomination for his second term, which was super exciting.
So, For the viewers that might not know, first of all, there's millions and millions of Americans living abroad. Many people don't realize that Democrats Abroad is actually considered a state by the U.S., isn't it, in terms of voting?
Yeah. Inside the Democratic Party, we're part of the Democratic Party and we're considered a state party. So we have our own delegation that goes to the Democratic National Convention, and we have our own chair and vice chair and run our own operation to mobilize Americans to vote.
How many electoral votes does Democrats Abroad receive?
So what Democrats Abroad has actually is our delegates that go to the Democratic National Convention. And we have our own primary. We just finished holding our own global presidential primary in 44 countries at 95 locations around the world, where Americans could come and have the experience of voting in person for their preferred presidential candidate. So we did that process. We also had a remote voting, so people who weren't close to a voting center could vote. And it was a really exciting process. You know, people bring their kids to have the experience of voting, or they bring their 18-year-olds or their 17-year-olds to like get ready to vote for the first time. It's a really, really moving experience. And we certified the results of our global presidential primary. And that means that we now know that our 13 delegates, I think your question is how many delegates do we have that go to the convention? We have 13 delegates. And all of our delegates will be pledged to President Biden this year because he won our primary. And we also are electing our automatic delegates, which are our DNC members, who will also go and represent Democrats Abroad at the Democratic National Convention, which will be a really exciting moment in Chicago this year.
I saw that he won about 80% of your vote, the primary vote. But do you do this is this a new thing, doing an in-person primary to excite people, or has it always been the case?
It hasn't always been the case. Democrats Abroad has existed for 60 years. This is our 60th anniversary. And we started doing a global presidential primary in 2008. So that was when President Obama was ended up being nominated ultimately. But we had the big contest between Hillary and Barack Obama. But prior to that, we did other kinds of nominating forms, like we had caucuses and different things, because of course we're dispersed all over the world. It's not like we can, you know, get together easily in person to do our selection like, you know, some other states. You can just drive and meet together. So we have various ways that we've always been meeting virtually. But in 2008, we started doing in-person primary, which has been really successful, and we've continued doing it ever since.
And I imagine after COVID, everybody is very happy to join forces and be together and
I think so. I think it had a really festive atmosphere. We were actually back in the same theater that you were talking about at Boom Chicago in Amsterdam. And we had our one of our primaries there, our Amsterdam primary. We also had The Hague in Utrecht. But there, you know, we had music playing and we had it decorated. And it was really special to be in person again. Though we were also in person 4 years ago, we were just before the lockdown. So it's been that long since we've had such a big event with so many people coming together.
So, you know, until I lived in the Netherlands, I didn't even consider the fact that I wasn't being considered by my own country in certain regards. So, for example, I'm almost at Medicare age now. And I know that my friends that are over 65 that are living in the Netherlands can't access their Medicare in Europe. That's like one of the platforms. I think taxation is another. We all have to file something called an FBAR, which is a financial statement that reveals every foreign bank account we have. I was just curious, like what is the importance of Democrats abroad, and what are some of the issues that maybe people living in America may not even consider?
Yeah, well, good question. So Democrats Abroad does specifically advocate on issues that uniquely impact Americans who live abroad. Those, because that could be a whole variety of issues like citizenship, making sure that our kids have access to citizenship is an issue that we've worked on, because not every child who's born abroad is going to have that access. In the last election, we found that some kids that were born to same-sex couples abroad, some were getting citizenship, some were not. So we brought that forward as an item to the Biden campaign, and that was taken care of. And so,
Well, let me just go back for viewers that might not understand the difference between residency and citizenship. Maybe you could just articulate what citizenship means. They get a passport, basically.
Yeah. So if you're born abroad to an American parent, you should have access to U.S. citizenship. Yeah. So citizenship is an issue. I mean, of course, immigration is also an issue, because a lot of us are in families with a spouse who's not a U.S. citizen, or maybe kids or stepkids who have different nationalities. So the access to family reunification, immigration is an important issue for us. You mentioned taxation. There are often issues that get forgotten about when tax laws are passed. They don't think about Americans abroad and how they're impacted by some of the tax laws. So we advocate around that. And the Medicare issue is also an interesting one, like Social Security, where we want to be able to have access to benefits that we paid into, that we would have access to if we were living in the United States, and that's not necessarily organized or facilitated. So there's a pilot going on right now to be able to look at how Americans who live abroad might be able to access Medicare benefits. So those are some of the issues that we work on, but really we're here for any American who's got, you know, these kinds of issues that impact us as a group. And we find ways to have our voices be heard and to, speak with members of Congress and make sure that we're included, because, you know, we're 9 million Americans living abroad. Probably about 6 million of those are adults of voting age. And, we really actually have the ability to impact legislation if we work together.
And I mean, you also, I believe, were one of the founding chairs of the LGBTQ caucus in abroad. Is that correct? Or
Democrats Abroad? Yeah. I came to Democrats Abroad to work actually on an immigration issue. Until 2013, I didn't have the right to bring my spouse, who's female and who is not a U.S. citizen, into the United States. There was no provision for recognition of marriages or relationships between same-sex couples. I know it was only 11 years ago, but there was nothing there to make that possible. So I moved abroad because I didn't have the right to bring my wife into the United States as a legal family member. And we worked for about a dozen years to change the immigration law, which happened in 2013. And out of that, I found Democrats Abroad, because I realized that if we wanted to have our rights, we needed to work on those. And Democrats Abroad was an organization with a lot of people that were facing the same things that I was facing, and who also wanted and needed those rights for a whole lot of reasons. You know, I mean, I'm not moving back to the United States anytime soon, but I do want to have the right to do so. And a lot of us have family members, you know, aging parents and all that, and we want to be able to spend time. And so I was one of the founders of the LGBTQ plus caucus at Democrats Abroad.
I mean, one of my favorite stories, we both have a friend, Bob Brager, a lawyer who's an expat, also has a similar story to yours. He was not able to marry his Dutch partner in America, so he moved abroad. But his story is that he was a Hillary supporter, and he was at the DNC meeting the new candidates for the first time, and an unknown guy named Barack Obama was in line shaking his hand, and he mentioned to Obama, he said, I'm living abroad because I have to. I have no other option. I'm gay and I can't live in America. And he said, Obama shook his hand, turned away, and then turned back for a second and said, how awful. And he said it was in that one moment of recognition when he said how awful that he immediately switched his loyalties to Obama. He said there was genuine realization and concern, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think that that would have been an impossibility now, that kind of legislation that you were able to help foster?
Well, we worked on that legislation for about a dozen years, and it was actually considered as part of the last comprehensive immigration reform bill, which did pass the Senate in 2013. But even in 2013, the last thing that they removed from the bill was the recognition of a same-sex spouse. So it wasn't in that bill. And of course, we have not had any comprehensive immigration legislation in the United States in decades. The last bill that was proposed, a bipartisan bill that was proposed recently, also didn't make it. So we actually won our rights through the courts, through the Supreme Court. A lady named Edith Windsor, who was a widow, who'd lost her spouse and had to pay an enormous tax bill because her spouse was considered a legal stranger, went to court.
Wow.
Went to court and said, that's not fair. That's not fair that I had to pay that tax bill. She and her wife, the Aspire, were legally married in New York, but there was a law called the Defense of Marriage Act that prevented the federal government from giving any recognition to their marriage. So she went to court and she won, and that took down part of the Defense of Marriage Act, and it allowed us to access federal benefits, and immigration is actually a federal benefit. So we had marriage equality in a number of states, but states cannot grant you any immigration rights. So that's actually how we won our rights.
How would any of the rights that were won for Democrats abroad be affected by a potential Trump administration, or perhaps with this new Supreme Court?
Right. Well, we've seen already what a Trump administration does to Americans abroad. The $2 trillion tax giveaway that the Trump administration pushed through in his presidency had really negative impact on Americans abroad. It didn't take into account that there were a lot of small business owners who were living abroad and who got swept up in a part of that law that was meant to tax big companies and allow them to at one time repatriate some of their earnings. So it had a really negative effect on Americans abroad. And, you know, we it's very important that we be considered. And the, you know, the Supreme Court today probably would not have ruled in favor of Edith Windsor. So, I mean, I think we can see that it's very important that we elect Democrats in this coming cycle. And to your question of what does Democrats abroad do, you know, we're here to support Americans who live abroad throughout the voting process, to educate them about the fact that they can vote when they live abroad. A lot of people don't know that, to actually show them through, take them through the process. We have our own website called votefromabroad.org, where people can go and they can fill in the forms and send them to their local election official. And then they need to follow up and make sure that those forms are received, that they're on the voting rolls, and they should receive a ballot 45 days before an election. And of course, they have to fill it in and return it. So we're here. We have a help desk that takes people through the entire process, supports any American abroad who wants to vote, and makes sure that those votes are properly returned. And we encourage voters to follow up and make sure their ballots were counted.
Are there an equal amount of Republicans as well as Democrats abroad? I once went to a Republicans abroad picnic when I first moved to the Netherlands, primarily because the guy that ran it had been a contractor for the U.S. Army, and he had Oscar Mayer hot dogs. And I was like so excited to finally have an American hot dog. But I just wonder, I mean, do we have equal representation abroad for, you know, in other words, how important is our vote abroad in the swing states, for example?
Republicans abroad or Republicans overseas, those organizations really have a different purpose and are organized differently. And you mentioned earlier, Democrats abroad is part of the Democratic Party. We have our own representation at the convention. Republicans abroad doesn't have that. They don't have their own delegates from abroad that come to their convention. So they don't have that particular role in selecting the nominee. So a Republican would have to vote back in their state, which, you know, anybody can do. Our members have the option to vote with us or in their state. So they're organized really differently. I think they're more of a fundraising organization. And as far as winning in swing states, I mean, we find that many Americans living abroad are Democrats, as some are Republicans. But a lot of voters in swing states are really eager to vote and to make a difference. We saw in 2020 that the votes of Americans abroad in both Georgia and Arizona were larger than President Biden's margin of victory. So we feel that we really made an impact and made a difference in the results of that election.
You know, I had a question. I mean, they say you really, when you move abroad, you learn a little about the culture, the new culture, but you learn a hell of a lot about your old one. And that certainly was the case with me. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how living abroad for you personally, and maybe for some of your colleagues, has informed or reawakened or enlightened you to some issues that you hadn't thought about before. For example, maybe climate change, or I don't know, but I was just curious if you've gotten kind of a new perspective or a more enlightened perspective since living abroad.
Yeah, well, I think I certainly have developed a new perspective. I mean, we read different news when we're abroad. We, you know, look at things sometimes also from the perspective of a Dutch person. I live in the Netherlands. I think there's some of that, but I did really rediscover my, you know, my passion and my interest in really making a difference and having my voice be heard when I moved abroad. Because I realized that there were issues that really affected me, and I didn't want to disappear and fall off the map just because I wasn't living in the United States anymore. And I also just came to recognize how special it is to have a vote, and to be able to let my voice be heard and to reach out to other people and have them do the same thing. So I think making a difference and participating in democracy has become more and more important to me living abroad.
What are some of the platforms that you're currently, that the Democrats abroad are currently engaged in? Are they still engaged in reparations, for example?
Yeah. We have a number of task forces. We have a reparations task force that's done some really incredible work to raise the issue of having a commission study the issue of reparations federally. But there are also a number of those commissions that are moving forward on a state level. We have a task force.
Sorry, I want to just stop you right there. Could you explain what that means, the reparations? Like, can you articulate, just elaborate a little on that?
Yeah, no, the reparations task force looks at reparations of Black Americans from the period of slavery. So they look and they raise awareness around the fact that there never were any reparations. There really never was anything that was done to heal and to provide, you know, resources to people who had been enslaved and their labor had been used without any compensation whatsoever. And we have had reparations of many other kinds in the United States. Japanese Americans have had reparations. When we have, you know, natural disasters and storms, people get reparations, but Black Americans have never been the recipient of those kind of reparations. And it's something that needs to be studied and where we need to look and see what's possible there.
And what other kinds of, you know, issues are going on?
Yeah, task forces. So you mentioned already a couple of them. We have a taxation task force. We have a Medicare portability task force about being able to access your Medicare benefits when you're abroad. But we look at a whole range of issues like Social Security. It's another issue where you don't necessarily get your full benefits if you live abroad.
You don't?
No. There's some provisions that make it more challenging. And a lot of Americans abroad have to choose between taking the pension that they've earned when they're abroad or to access their Social Security benefits. So, you know, that's another issue. During the COVID epidemic, we created a vaccination task force because not everyone who was abroad, being an American, being a foreigner in the country they lived in, had access to COVID vaccinations. And we created a task force to work around that issue because that wasn't being facilitated.
I didn't know that. How did you facilitate that? Like, did you make it more possible for Americans to get those vaccines?
I don't think we accomplished everything that we wanted to accomplish with that work, but we did raise the issue and we continue to raise that issue, that it's really important that Americans who live abroad are also, you know, on the radar of the U.S. government when we live abroad, because, you know, we're impacted. Many of us were able to get vaccinations and that, you know, allowed us some room to travel and to be, you know, to be safer where we live. But there were a few countries where foreigners were excluded from those programs. And we want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, the Netherlands just had a very different timeline and take than the US did. And quite a few of my friends ended up flying back to America to get vaccinated months ahead of when they could have gotten it in, which is crazy, but something you don't even think about, right? I have a personal question because I can't believe how fast the time has gone by already, but I'm a little bit of a gossip monger, and I love these convention stories. Like were you at the last couple of conventions?
Yes, I was.
I mean, can you give me some good stories? Like, was it fun, for example? Is it exciting? Did you see anyone? I got to hear some dirt. Anything.
Oh,
Any
yeah. Conventions are really wonderful. Of course, 2020 was on my couch because it was a virtual convention. So you really miss that.
Okay.
But they're really like progressive days of getting less and less sleep. You know, there's a whole program during the day, and we're really looking forward to this in Chicago. And I'm really excited that our candidate application period is open, and we're going to have a great delegation going to the convention in Chicago, who will elect at the end of May. But there are activities all day long. So there's an official program, there's caucuses, there's all kinds of groups. And it's just one senator, the first lady, a congressman, a mayor, just one after another coming and speaking. And it's one of the things that makes it so special to be a delegate, though those meetings during the day from 9 to 5 are open to the general public. Delegates are credentialed, they get in the room a little bit quicker, but it's really wonderful that that's another form of democracy, is that people come together and they get to experience that kind of messaging and contact and all of that from our representatives. And then in the evening, there's the official program in the venue. In this case, it'll be at the United Center in Chicago, where again, we have speaker after speaker, it's televised, and we have the formal part where we count down the states and we read out our votes and we formally nominate our candidate. But it's super exciting, and you're there in the reading and you don't know who you're going to run into. It's really thrilling and really exciting. And, you know, it's also just a really great place for us to network, to meet each other, to collaborate, because it kicks off a very intensive period going into the general election, where it's really important that we get the enthusiasm and the willingness of people to do, you know, what it's going to take to be able to vote.
I always think Michelle Obama, as a professional storyteller, I think she's one of the best speech givers ever. Her structure is amazing. But who is your most, like, whose speech just blew you away? Or, you know, talk.
Well, now that you mentioned Michelle Obama, I can't get her out of my head. But yeah, no, her speech, you know, when they go low, we go high. I mean, her speeches have always been incredibly inspiring, you know, as well as, you know, former presidents. You know, and President Obama's speeches, President Clinton's speeches have also been, you know, really, really inspiring. But what I really like about convention is it's such an incredible spectrum of speakers, you know, from, you know, mothers who've lost a child to a disease or to gun violence, to people who are activists and advocates in their communities, to, you know, like rock stars and, you know, musical entertainment, but really all the voices from all across the country, you know, from all age groups, you know, are heard. And it really gives you such a feeling for what's at stake in an election. Like, these are people who are all up to something, who care about something, who are impacted by something, and who want to see a new future, who want to see something possible. So, you know, we're all about, you know, votefromabroad.org. Let's expand the electorate. Let's get more people out there, because all of those stories are so inspiring and so important. And really, as a country, there's so much that we can do if we work together.
I don't want to end on a negative note, but I really fear the information gap is so prevalent. I wonder, you know, how we, I don't, I have a cousin who's a MAGA sort of Trump supporter, and he's a great guy. He does not get any of the same information that I do. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of antidote? Do you see any way forward? Is this going to be a perpetual problem and even deepening, or can we somehow get the word out to everyone?
Well, I think there are ways to get the word out, but we do all get the own information that we get. I mean, we can't read everything. You probably read different things than I read. I mean, that I think that's a fact. And, you know, it can be challenging to talk to somebody who's reading things that we don't think are true at all, that are misinformation. I think misinformation plays a really big role, and it probably will play a really big role in this information, in this election. You know, we have to be really, you know, cautious about the fact that misinformation tries to pull on us and tries to get us to, you know, be discouraged or maybe stay home from voting or tell us things that aren't true. I think that's one of the big challenges of this season. And it's just really important that we learn the facts and that we talk to each other.
And develop our critical thinking skills before adulthood, you know? I mean, at least Europeans know how to listen with a cynical ear. I find Americans still are quite literal. I remember it was the only country in the world after every performance I gave in America, somebody would come up to me and say, was that true? Like they were so frightened of kind of trusting their own judgment. And they kind of wanted to be, the onus was always on the teller of the tale in America versus the listener. And I always think that, you know, one of the things we can do to arm ourselves is just to teach the listener how to listen more cynically, more, you know, just more intelligently.
I think so. And I think we could also be examples of that. You know, we could be really role models of that. You know, I mean, we all have people in our families, in our communities who think differently, who we don't agree with, but mm-hmm. there's something there, there's something behind it. And there's Definitely. Something that people really care about. And I think it's just so important to listen and to park our own opinions and judgments and assessments for a moment and really connect with other people, which I think is what you're talking about.
I am. Hey, I can't believe how fast this has gone by, but I really am so excited and I wish you so much success getting your delegates and getting the vote out. And I'm, of course, going to be watching and helping if I can.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me today, Lisa. It's been great.
I really appreciate it. Okay. All the best, Martha. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.